start somewhere. It has to start sometime. What better place than here? What better time than now?
You're listening to The Radcast. If it's radical, we cover it. Here's your host, Ryan Alford.
Hey guys, what's up? Welcome to the latest edition of The Radcast, news and advertising edition. I'm Ryan Alford.
And I'm Josh Hill.
Welcome to our show. It is Friday, July 2nd, 2021. We are in the future, folks. It's 2021. And it's almost July 4th. We're going out with a bang here this week.
Oh, yes.
Dad joke number one.
Yep.
right off the bat.
Ding. I'll start my tally.
I know. What's up, Josh? You having a good week?
Been a good week. Yeah.
Good. Any huge, exciting, special July 4th plans?
Big cookout with some friends.
Okay.
Yeah.
Kind of what it is. Kind of you know, throw some old meat on the Barbie.
Oh, yeah.
What was that? Dumb and Dumber?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I'll get Zuckerberg on here smoking these meats.
Smoking meats. We have the meats.
We have smoking some meats out here.
I know. July 4th, fireworks. There's no fireworks in Greenville this year. What the hell?
Oh, is that real?
Yeah. Like there's so much construction going on. They're like, they're afraid they're going to light something on fire. And then like the area that's normally does it has so much, you know, you can't hide progress around here.
That makes sense.
You got babies crying. You got kids upset. Like moms are going, what are we going to do? There's no fireworks downtown.
I've already seen some memes about the Northwest with all that heat and dryness going on out there.
They're they don't need fireworks.
Yeah. They're like, This is great. Good thing there's no explosion centric holidays coming up.
Yeah. I think they need to stay away from the fireworks. 117 degrees out there.
Just bring up a YouTube video and watch that. That'd be enough.
So it's been a good week. I know we're going to start a new segment here in our kind of upfront for these, looking at some of the Google trends of the week. I know these were yesterday's trends. And something caught my attention, and I wanted to, you know, bring it to the forefront. If you're watching the video, you're going to see the screen of what's trending. But a certain gentleman that used to play baseball for the New York Mets, I think it's Bobby Bonilla. Bobby Bonilla Day was yesterday. And you know this? Are you aware a little bit of this story? Kind of the cult nature of it.
Recently. Yeah. It's a name that's popped up here and there throughout history for me. But
so for anyone listening that doesn't know this story, and it was yesterday, so you're probably like, oh, I already heard this. Well, you're going to hear it again. So I'm going to condense it really quickly. Bobby Bonilla was a huge baseball player, made millions of dollars, huge contract. Well, he declined 1 year, and the owner didn't really want to pay the remaining like $6 million all at once. But he told him, and Bobby made the deal of a lifetime, that he'd pay him $1.2 million for 25 years, 11 years, starting 11 years in 2011. It was 2000 when this happened.
Mm-hmm.
And Bobby took that deal. It was only $6 million that he was owed. And he took that $25 million. And the owner of the Mets, who was investing with Bernie Madoff with a lot of money. He was the Ponzi schemer, if you don't know who that is. Anyway, stole everyone's money, including the Mets owner, who seemed to have enough for it to go around. But nonetheless, he thought he could invest over those 11 years and make more than the contract was worth. Well, he was dead wrong, kind of like Bernie Madoff. And he's been paying $1.2 million for over 25 years since 2011. We're in year like 10 of this. He's got 15 more to go, but it's become a cult following. It's there's Bobby Bonilla Day at the ballpark. There's been bobbleheads and everything else. And Ryan Reynolds, of course, has struck a commercial with Mint. We won't go there. That's not part of our news. Ryan, we've given you enough props on this. You should come on the show. We're going to get you on as a guest, Ryan Reynolds. But in all seriousness, Bobby Bonilla Day. Bobby Bonilla was trending in the top like 10 yesterday significantly.
Yeah, the things I would do for a contract like that. A deal.
$1.2 million. They just kind of put it in savings for him. Yeah. You know, like it became his, like, you know, instead of like some of these guys spending more than they should have, even with financial advisors, he signs the deal of a lifetime, and it became like a savings account because he gets 1.2 million, almost like living on the dividends of you know, a much larger contract. So
gosh,
and that's for you, Bobby.
Oh, absolutely.
Anyway, I just, it makes me laugh, you know, like that the owner was, I don't know, arrogant enough to think that was a done deal. So
yeah, it's a good good life lesson of the don't catch your chickens before the eggs hatch. I don't know.
Yeah, that's exactly how you say it. Yes. Oh. I promised I was going to give Josh lots of awes today, and no distractions.
Yeah, that's your cue to make an awe at home if you're, wherever you're listening.
Yes. So I know a bit of news. So here we're Radical, and we're doing a little partnership. There's a, if you go look them up, especially on TikTok, Joey, Joe, and Sean, that's S-E-A-N. Go look them up on TikTok. Thank me later. Hilarious dudes. They're actually here at Greenville, little comedy troupe. I know Joe from college, but I'm actually hiring these guys at the agency. They're going to help with writing and doing some skits to really kind of take our content to the next level. So I'm excited about that. I might even make some guest appearances on the podcast, Josh. So funny guys. Josh is probably funnier than you even realize. So I can't wait for how this all kind of comes together when we get lots of funny people talking. And so I don't know. It's like trying to shake things up. It just strikes me as the people that are making great content that are really talented in this day and age, how do we partner and leverage that, especially when our fucking name is Radical?
Yeah.
You know, like, it struck me as Radical, so let's be Radical. So I'm excited about that. More to come, more content. They're going to be coming on the Radcast, be doing like a weekly segment. So I'm looking forward to that. Josh, did their humor strike you as funny?
Oh, yeah.
I feel like it was kind of right down the path for you a little bit.
Oh, for sure. There's a couple of moments, even just meeting with them, I was like holding back laughter.
Yeah, they're funny. Lots of parody. So look them up. Joey, Joe, and Sean coming on the Radcast team and the Radical team in any time now. So speaking of TikTok, anything hitting your radar this week?
A few things. And I'm going to bring Ryan back in. Ryan Reynolds got on, and of course his first fucking YouTube, like, TikTok video gets 4 million likes, not views, likes. It's just huge. So he's just hitting base hits at this point.
I know.
But we had our own TikTok blow up.
Yes, we did.
We had one featuring our wonderful graphic designer Sawyer, and one of the recent trends. So this is another trend of the I don't even know who does this song, but it's just like, I'll be damned. I'll be damned if I listen to the opinion of a man with an unwashed rear end. Keeping it clean.
Keeping it clean.
But yeah, he's got 125,000 views. Got a few hundred followers from that. It's great.
It is a case study. Okay, people. So I'm just going to say this. So, like, I give our team latitude with time to create TikToks for the agency. Most agencies suck at marketing themselves. We're marketers, so we market ourselves. So I tell the team, hey, come up with TikToks, do all this stuff. We've got a lot of creative people, a lot of talented people, and they come up with videos. We've had some with 5,000 views here and there. Mm-hmm. And you think, well, what's the point of that? Well, we had like 3 talented people apply to work here. Yeah. It's a recruiting tool. Mm-hmm. You know, it's awareness for the agency. It's awareness for our team. It gives them, you know, a creative outlet. Like, this is why you do it. Yeah. And so if you're listening out there and you run a business, this is why you give your team latitude to do these things. And, you know, who knows what comes of it, but it adds value. It's fun. We look, everything's too serious. Like, let's fucking stop taking everything so damn serious. Like, let's have fun, people. That's why TikTok's blowing up. So
I know we've had a couple like new people on the team. We're like, all right, let's make a TikTok. And they're like, should we like have a meeting, some kind of formal discussion? Should we shoot? Like, no, we just hang. Like,
no, just do it.
Like, calm down.
Yeah. Like, calm down. This is not planned.
We're not that kind of workspace. We're like the cool workspace.
Yes. So check that out. Check out the Radical Company TikTok page for all of the greatest hits that are going on. And Sawyer's mullet Yeah, I don't even think he had the mullet yet in the video,
yeah.
Did he?
Yeah, he didn't yet.
That hair is something else.
We'll get it. We'll get it back in there.
Yes, he might play a character himself.
Yes.
Anything else hitting your radar on TikTok?
A couple great more sounds. Pay My Bills by Destiny Child, killing it. Love those. And then one of my favorites is the Pitbull did a song a while ago, and in it he was like, for everyone going through tough times, remember I've been there, done that. And everyone's like posting the most like obscure, like really deep traumatic events in their lifetime, and he's like, just me like pushing through this moment and just remembering that Pitbull's been there with me.
Yeah, like playing off fact that maybe he had tough times at one time, but really he's not having tough times anymore.
But he's Mr. Worldwide. What hasn't he experienced?
This is true. Is Pitbull still popular? Or is he only popular in a parody instance? Like,
I want to say he's popular in a parody way, but like, I also still see him everywhere. So I don't think I think there comes a point where, like, even if you are a meme, like,
yeah,
it doesn't matter.
I hope I become a meme. Don't you want to become a meme? I'm okay with that. Like, you've made it, I think. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's when you're like, for sure, a part of like history forever.
Yes. Cool. Well, there's your latest on TikTok, and we'll get started on the news. So, first, number one, Audi claiming a 70% conversion rate. This is coming from Ad Age, by the way. Find it on adage.com. You can find it a lot of places. I did see it multiple places, but Ad Age picked it up, so I want to give them props. Audi claims 70% conversion rate for cookieless testing, leveraging exclusion lists. So, essentially here, you know, cookies are going away eventually, though Google just announced they're extending another 2 years. No one's quite ready. It's like, wait, hey, can we extend that a little longer? Hey, you know, like the lobbyists in Washington shoved a few more hundreds, I think, or millions, whatever it is, in pockets to extend this because no one's quite ready for it. But it is interesting because this goes in line. This kind of struck me because it's some of the things that we are about to start testing or already are testing with this notion of contextual combined with first party, combined with behavioral, minus it, which is where the exclusion list, customers that are showing behaviors that would show them not to be interested in whatever you're selling, in this case, an Audi.
Right.
But who's not interested in an Audi? But, you know, it has to be a small exclusion list, right? Yeah. Just the ones that can't afford it, maybe.
Right.
But that was the only thing. They put a minor, like, affordability. That was the one factor, like, you know, whatever the income level was. Credit level. Probably have credit scores. But thoughts on this?
Yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense. And going for contextual stuff is something, like, we've been, like, really pushing for last few months, especially.
Yep.
And that's been really successful in what I've seen in our results, but makes a lot of sense, especially with the like exclusion list. I think a lot of people, I mean, everyone talks
that
about
that might be the sauce here.
Yeah.
You know,
I think everyone talks about targeting, audience targeting, who are you going after? I think a key thing is like, you got to exclude people you're not going after. One, it saves you some ad money, because you got to keep them out. But I think it really says a lot. I mean, people are really focusing on being all things to all people. It's like, no, you got to cut out some people.
Well, it's kind of like negative keywords on pay-per-click campaigns. Like, people forget about that. Oh, we're going to go after these keywords, all this. No, you need to exclude some lists, some keywords too, because that will get the trash kind of out of the opportunity.
Right. You know? It's like finding a partner to date, and you like focus on all the good things and then you just ignore the red flags.
Yeah. She's cute. Yeah. She's nice. She cleans, but she's also a psychopath.
Yeah. She stole my wallet.
She's so awesome. Like, she's so good to me.
Yeah.
Like, you know, she emptied my bank account that one time, but it was okay. I didn't have $700 in there, so I was okay with it.
Well, it's like life lesson and ad lesson. Remember your exclusions. Remember
exclusionless people.
Oh, yeah.
Exclude.
Get some deal breakers in there.
Yeah. 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 So, number two. So, not surprising here, but so Facebook's been under scrutiny for the last few years, and there's been a huge lawsuit, this big lawsuit. Just to summarize, we could talk about this for an hour, but they've been called out for essentially being a monopoly. And they've had antitrust laws and everything's been trying to throw the book at them. Well, the judge threw it out. Their stock price went through the roof like when this happened, because I think a lot of people weren't expecting it to get thrown out. But yeah, it did get thrown out. And you know, like, I believe in capitalism. I'm independent probably as far as a voting goes. I've voted both sides in my, I don't know, 20 plus years of voting. So I wouldn't call myself one party or another as much as I just believe in capitalism. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of the lifeblood of America a bit. And so I don't have a problem with Facebook growing, becoming what they are. Everyone's got the same opportunity. It's who makes the most of it. However, at a certain point, like, I don't know when something gets so ingrained into society and everything else that it might be too big. I don't have a firm absolute judgment on that, other mm-hmm. than just my own intuition goes, maybe getting a bit big.
Yeah. we have a habit of letting entities like this become the like too big to fail thing.
Yes.
And that's when you just completely remove competition and everything is like working to keep them in power. And it's just like that's when it falls apart.
My problem with Facebook goes back to just like personal freedoms and stuff. It's like they have so much size and scale, mm-hmm. which they've done and they've built, and I admire from a capitalism standpoint. But when they become the judge, jury, and censorship of anything, and again, I'm not being political here, I'm just talking like on anything,
mm-hmm.
that's when I get to have a little bit of, or a lot of heartburn. You know, yeah. It's like when they're censoring things, when they're dictating what's real news, what's fake news, what's absolute gospel and what's not.
Right.
Because that's, and look, I'm not saying you shouldn't have some censorship and like mm-hmm. you don't want your kids seeing bad stuff and like, you know, like all in all, like criminality, of course,
mm-hmm.
we need some censoring.
Right.
But I think if you're paying attention, we're creeping into lots of realms now, which is where some of that's happening.
And even that, like a more, I guess, a different look, like, you get your algorithm feeding you stuff that you either get mad about and react to, or just the stuff that you like. And so it's kind of only feeding you the extremes. And so you get caught in this feedback loop of your own perspective. So, really, the easiest key for getting rid of this monopoly is just stop using it.
Yes. Hey,
take a break.
Don't take say that too loud.
Take
Josh.
A break here and there.
We do make money off of Facebook, but
it's a great stuff for just, it's great for discovery. Great for like experiencing like new things, finding new things. But like,
yeah,
if it's becoming your reality, it's time to take a few.
That
minutes,
I agree
minutes
with.
Out.
And that is the problem, is there's like, you know, it's why you have screen time and different things now. Mm-hmm. Like, take a break, people. Like, you know, it can be a source, but don't be the source of all things.
Yeah.
Right?
Let it be a tool.
Yeah, unless you're just shopping for like everything that I have for sale in the marketplace. Didn't use it as much as you want.
Yeah. That is your life now.
Whenever I sell something on marketplace, please use it as often as possible. But you know, if I don't have anything for sale, then you know, don't worry about it. That random yard lawnmower that I'm trying to get rid of from my storage or whatever. You know, I'm always selling something random on Facebook Marketplace. If I'm selling something, you know,
yeah,
a few cars on there, kind of nice.
Oh yeah,
like.
Got rid of it. I've moved some furniture.
It's like,
I'd
be careful what I ask for. Like, I'm not saying let's get rid of Facebook. I'm just saying, like, you know, let's just make sure we get whatever, you know, mm-hmm. we're all know who's driving the bus here.
Yeah.
So third on our list, the dating app Bumble is officially opening its first cafe. This has been talked about for 2 years in New York City. Bumble. Dating app opens a cafe. I liked where they were going to go at first. It was like, I read the article and I'm like, the first plan was no soups or spaghettis, because mm-hmm. you're going to be going on dates and you don't want to get embarrassed. And like, that was kind of funny to me. At least I could troll that a little bit more. Now it's like, you know, we're going to be all things for all people. And like mm-hmm. oh, come on.
Yeah. It's just obviously like a PR move, but it's so funny to me, because I know it's going to be such a turnoff when someone's like, oh, you've been talking for a little bit on this app, and like the other person's like, oh, let's finally go out. And then you're like, Where should I go? Where should I go? How about the Bumble?
That's what I don't understand. It's like, I remember, okay, good story. I lived in New York. I had gotten divorced and was only there for a few months before I moved back to South Carolina. And I used the app there and, you know, went on a few dates.
Mm-hmm.
And it always felt like, you know, you walk into a bar and like, oh God, there's like, you know, eight people here, you know, are on match.com dates.
Yeah.
And so it's a little bit of the walk of shame. Mm-hmm. I don't know, like, why you'd be shame. Everybody's dating. Everyone used, this was 9-10 years ago.
Right.
Everyone's used the app then, in New York, well before anyone else. Everything in New York is mainstream before anywhere else. And so mm-hmm. it's like, it wasn't like everybody was doing it. So it was fine. But it was more just like the, you knew everybody was on it and that's how people met. But walking in and knowing there were like five other match dates.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
And then people snickering, like the bartender going, oh, match date.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. You know, so thus, if you're on a Bumble date,
yeah,
or whatever you do with Bumble, do you really want to go to the fucking Bumble cafe?
Gosh, are you going to wear a Bumble t-shirt?
I would be
there?
As far like, as possible from that. You know, like, I don't want to go to the fucking Bumble cafe.
Gosh, yeah.
Like, it just says, hey, let me have a t-shirt that says we're on a Bumble date.
It just feels uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But you can always tell. Like, I've been on a few Bumble dates myself, and I've seen other people, but you can always, like, see someone at a, like, bar, and you can be like, they're waiting on a Bumble date.
There's going to be, like, all these, like, you know, 40, 50-year-old men and women that are, like, you know, married, like, trying to escape or something, hanging out at the Bumble Cafe. That's, you know, just the shadiest, yeah. The shadiest people in New York.
Do people, can you go there without, like,
can you
app?
Make a Bumble date while you're at the Bumble Cafe? Like,
yeah, can
you know,
meet
like,
people there?
Just, like, have it, have, like, GPS, like, locked in, like, hey, I'm just, yeah. I'm hanging out at the Bumble Cafe.
Are they checking, your matches to make sure
yeah.
it's you?
Yeah, exactly.
I have so, like, many more questions I just thought of.
I know, like, this is what, I just think it's, like, contrary, but, like, I don't know. This is what I think about it.
Yeah. Yeah, do not choose the Bumble Cafe.
I'm going to let that one go all the way down. No Bumble Cafe for me. And I don't get it from a business perspective. Other than branding, okay, I get it. But like we talked about, New York, how many fucking restaurants do they have? It's like a million restaurants. They got every concept ever. If this doesn't flame out in 2 years or less, call me shocked.
Yeah.
I called the demise of Clubhouse for the fucking record, and it's already demising, and which may or may not be a word, but its demise is imminent.
Yeah.
And call this what you want. That's what I'm going to think about that.
Gosh.
I'm getting on the soapbox on this one.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean,
I just struck me in the, you know, like this could have been in our, like, you know, bad idea episode.
Yeah. I mean, God, it's so bad. Cause, like, just being in New York City, compared to a lot of other countries, like, New York City is, like, our only, like, actual city in America.
Yeah, right.
And, like, you have all of those places, places that have been there for over 100 years, and you go, yeah, I don't want to go to any of those spots. Let's go to the Bumble Cafe.
Yes, yes. Thank you for that, Josh. You're so right. And so we'll see what happens. And last on our list, this is not a news article. This is a little bit of, hey, we're on Soapbox Friday here a little bit. I'm going to get on my soapbox a bit. Not even the soapbox, but, and I want to get your perspective on this, Josh, but. So we're in kind of a start of a boom a bit with the economy, with people getting back out. Everyone's excited. There's money in the market, money being spent. A lot of our clients, a lot of potential clients, a lot of just brands in general, life's good right now.
Yeah.
You know, sales are going up. Money's in the market. Things are happening. But here's what I want to do. I do want to give a point of view on this. So it gets real easy, I think, to think, well, we could pull back on marketing. And maybe spend a little less on marketing because sales are great. And this is not self-serving. It may come across that way because we do own an ad agency.
Yeah.
But it's actually, I want to go a different angle. It's less about, oh, don't pull back on marketing. We need your marketing. No, it's more the opportunity to start building brand when sales are great. Because pull back on your performance campaigns, because maybe this performance is happening as they are. But those equity building brand opportunities, you've been thinking about starting a podcast as a business.
Mm-hmm.
You've been thinking about ways to maybe sponsor a local sports team. You've been thinking about some outdoor board campaign. I'm going to cover the gamut here. this is the time to build brand, because it's not always going to be great, you know, and the more equity you can build and put in your brand now, while you've got a little extra cash or the sales are good, you can win the long game.
Absolutely. This is another thing to keep in mind. It's like most people, a lot of people get caught in the ruts of thinking of marketing as a, like, a fix. Like, things are going bad, better start doing some marketing, that'll fix it. It's not a Band-Aid. Like, yeah, it can help, but it's like taking medicine, like, when you should be just, like, be better.
Yeah, and also, working out.
Yeah, when things are good, like this is your preventative maintenance, I guess. When things are good, this is also going to be way easier too.
Yes.
Like, it's going to be way harder when sales are not bad,
and
it's going to take,
and the economy's in the tank and people don't have as much money.
Right. It's going to take way more money to invest in marketing to get the results that you could get when you're, when things are great. Like, you're going to get more for your money, more response. And just, it's like when things are good, that's when you already have attention.
Yeah.
That's your time to say something.
It's absolutely right. So if you've been thinking about a rebrand, you've been thinking about, you know, ways with which to kind of grow your overall awareness, now's the time. The fish are biting.
Mm-hmm.
So don't stop throwing your line out there and don't start creating a halo around that pond. This is the time to start really doubling down, because not only can you afford it because sales are good, but you want to play the long game with your business. Yeah, if you're selling your business next year, sure, pull some money out and, you know, save some money, make the books look a little better.
Yeah.
But most 99% of companies are in it for the long haul. And so now is when you have, just like Josh said, attention is there. You have money in the market. You have the opportunity, because another way to look at it is, there's people buying, so get more of your competition share, you know, like, you know, because they might be being more conservative, because that's the natural play here. You're actually going out of the norm. You're being radical by thinking about, how do I double down when things are good, instead of squirreling back. Well, I'm going to save for that rainy day. No, why don't you make this heyday even bigger of a heyday, so that then you're well positioned when things are slower. Because when things are slower, that brand halo, those things, that awareness, people knowing your name, being top of mind, is so much more valuable, because then you don't have to play the growth game of, I got to make people know about me. I've got to get my stuff out there because, you know, everything's, you know, so harder, you know, but like, now's the time.
Yeah. Branding and awareness can always be built. You're not going to max that out.
No, absolutely not. Until, I mean, and even Apple and Nike, the biggest brands in the world, spend millions and millions of dollars. Obviously, that's within their budgets, on these awareness drivers. They're doing it because they want to be top of mind. Mm-hmm. And top of mind is a fleeting position. It's a fight every day against the competition, no matter what you do. You're a chiropractor, you're a bank, you're a lawyer, you're a fabric company, whatever you are. Awareness and top of mind is fleeting. So now's the time to stake a position.
Yeah. Coca-Cola hasn't slowed down. You shouldn't either.
Exactly. That's it for this week. I hope everyone has a great July 4th. Have some hot dogs. I am not in the hot dog eating contest this year. Maybe next year. I could eat 3, I think.
Yeah.
How many hot dogs could you eat, Josh?
5.
Okay. 5.
I'm going to put a safe number in there.
5. Yeah. I can name that tune at 5. Cool. Well, have a great holiday, Josh. And everyone out there, you know where to find us, theradcast.com. I'm at Ryan Alford on all the channels. Josh Chill on Instagram. Go look him up. Go follow him. Go follow us. Go follow our YouTube channel, The Radical Company YouTube channel. All the content's there, all the video highlights, everything. We'll see you next time. Happy 4th of July on the Radcast.
To listen to full episodes or to contact us, visit us on the web at theradcast.com or follow our host at Ryan Alford on Instagram. Thanks for tuning in.